Shalom, shalom, everyone. Welcome to the Restoration Hour. We hope that you are blessed, that you are well, that you are doing good. And even if that is not your story this evening, we pray that Abba Father will meet you in this moment and that you'll be in His presence. You know, this week I read something that really, really, you know, kind of struck me. And it said that, you know, often we live in the Father's presence. It's not that we're not in His presence. You know, sometimes we feel like He's not with us, or, you know, where is His presence, or where has He gone? But we actually are in Abba Father's presence. It is just the awareness that we need, you know, and that really struck me. And I want you to just be feeling so welcomed in this moment, in this place. May Abba Father meet you here, and may you become aware of His presence. You know, when we are really living in Him and when we love Him, we are saved, we are sanctified, we're walking with Him. His presence is with us. So we just need to become aware of when and where it is. And isn't that beautiful, Yosef? Like, you know, oftentimes we think, oh, we got to push through and we've got to get into His presence. We've got to contend for the presence of God. And yes, it is true that, you know, unholiness, which is what we're going to be talking about actually this evening, and our flesh keeps us away from Abba Father's presence. We know that, but His presence is actually always with us. It's about becoming aware of His presence, becoming aware of what He is saying when we are in His presence, becoming aware of the love that He has for us when we're in His presence. It's just the awareness, the same feeling sometimes we have, like, oh, does He really love me? You know, is He really with me? Can I really trust Him? Yes, all those things are true. It's just becoming aware of His love, you know, and aware that He is always with us. And so today, again, that is my prayer, that you would feel that presence of Abba Father as we just gather together today. Welcome. It's so good to be with you all. It's so good to see you all. And Yosef, welcome to you as well. And it's going to be a great and fantastic Restoration Hour today.
Amen. I'm looking forward to this evening's Restoration Hour. And I think the topic that we're going to be speaking about this evening, like Leah said, is one of utmost importance. I think that throughout our lives, we get to learn a lot of things as believers. We get to hear a lot of things. And the scriptures, you know, the scriptures carry the truth of not only who Yeshua is, but it also carries the truth of how we can live, like Leah said, in that presence and continue to remain in the presence of the Father. And it's no secret or kind of a crazy recipe. It's just a matter of doing what the Father asks and living in that way, and also committing to that lifestyle. And I believe this evening that the topic that we're going to speak about is very important as we enter in and as we get ready for Passover. I really do believe that we need to be people of His holiness, people of His presence, and people that live holy and set apart. Because without it, it's not only so that others can know Yeshua, it's also so that we can get to know Yeshua in a more intimate way. And that's what it's about. He wants us to be able to serve Him as priests, as people who are not just always in the outer court. He wants to bring us in to the Holy of Holies, into the place where His presence is, and so that we can be changed and renewed and then go out and make a difference. And it's important that we understand that this evening. So I really do pray that wherever you are, that this week that you've had, that the Father's been with you. And let's pray, Leah, and let's get into this evening. Father, we want to thank You in the name of Yeshua Mashiach, Father, for this time that we can come together. Thank You, Father, that You have always had a plan, Father, from the very beginning. Everything in Your word, Father, is kind of a type and foreshadow of the goodness of Your Son, Yeshua. And Father, we want to pray this evening that as we look at the life of Yeshua and the work that Yeshua has done, Father, for us, I pray, Father, that You will help us understand that there is a plan, that there is a purpose, Father, and that You have so much in store for us, Father, when we allow Your Spirit to work within us and work through us. So, Father, we really want to pray this evening, help us to understand and help us to live the life that You have called us to live. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You know, I want to tell you today that Yeshua is so much more and accomplished so much more when He died and resurrected than just dying for your sins. How many times did you sit in the church or the message that was preached to you? And it's a vitally important message. We still need to preach the message of, you know, redemption, which is forgiveness of our sins and redemption. And we know that Yeshua, when he went to the stake, which is, you know, so important for us now, as we are getting into this week where Passover is going to be starting next week, Saturday evening, Pesach, and it's such an important time. But Yeshua did and accomplished so much more when he went to the stake than just being the sin sacrifice, than just redemption for your sin. And that's what we want to talk to you about today. You know what? If you're struggling with guilt, you're struggling with, you know, feeling heavy in yourself, you're struggling with your mind, you're struggling with, you know, all these things that we as human beings struggle with, struggling with your flesh, even struggling with any kind of, you know, struggle between good and things that are not good, whatever it may be. Today is the day where we want to share a word with you about what Yeshua did, what he accomplished. And we can see all of these things when we look at the sacrifices, and not only the sacrifices that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, but, you know, the red heifer sacrifice mentioned in Numbers, which is going to be the real focus of what we're going to talk about. A couple of years ago, we spoke about the red heifer sacrifice on what was then the coffee break. And, you know, it's just deepened year by year by year as the Father has been revealing to us the red heifer sacrifice in a deeper way. And before we get into the red heifer sacrifice, I really want to, you know, take you into the sacrifices that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus. Now, I don't know about you, Yosef, or for those who are listening, but I read the sacrifices year in and year out when I was in a Torah group, and it was quite boring. I really found it quite boring. And I also don't like anything that's harmful to animals. I'm big about that. And it's quite difficult to hear, you know, like take the thigh and wave it and take the entrails and do this with it. And it just got too much for me. And it's like, I don't even want to hear them butchering this animal. I just want to move past this. So I'm not going to get into how these animals were killed because it's like so unnecessary, but it was quite boring for me. But when I realized that Yeshua, we hear two things, and I remember two things clearly. One is in Christianity, yeah, Yeshua came and he died and he took away my sins. And so we see that as the focus of what we would say in Christianity, you know, the cross. The cross is about sin, and it is. It's about redemption and forgiveness, but there's so much more. Then we also hear, on the other hand, that Yeshua is our Passover lamb. We hear that a lot. And we see Yeshua as that innocent, perfect lamb, which is what he was. And of course, he came to be that Passover lamb. And like you said earlier on, foreshadowed in the book of Exodus, particularly Exodus 12, when they, you know, killed the lamb, ate it, the blood on the doorposts, and we know the story. But Yeshua was so much more. And if we look at the offerings that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, I want to say to you today that we have the offerings that's mentioned, but the truth of the offerings was, it, although these were outward rituals that would be performed, and offerings had to be done every day, and then sin offerings were brought, which we're going to get into, the key element of any offering, Yosef, that was offered was repentance within your own heart. Even in the Old Testament, before Yeshua was on the scene and the offerings were there as foreshadows of what he would accomplish, it was always about what was going on inside. It had to accompany repentance. It had to accompany looking at yourself and dealing with what was within side of you. You know, too often we've been taught that in the Old Testament, they just brought an animal, it was a substitute for whatever was going wrong in their life, and they just offered the animal, walked away, and everything was done. That is actually a pagan idea that we still actually see practiced in many, many different nations today, particularly in Africa, where people even offer their children, and all they do is you bring your sacrifice, whether it be a human being, sadly, or whether it be an animal, they bring it to some altar, some place, they offer it, and then they suddenly made clean and they can go off and they can sin again. That was not the pattern given to us by Yahweh right from the beginning. They always had to be, the sacrifices were, you know, had to be about inward righteousness. You laid your hands on the sacrifice when you offered it. If you took a sin offering up and you had, you know, done something wrong, you took your sacrifice onto the altar, and you actually had to, if you look at the original Hebrew words, you had to lean your entire weight upon that animal. You had to transfer, you put your hands upon that offering. You leaned upon it, and then you had to confess out loud to the priest that was standing there officiating what your sin was. what you were coming to offer sacrifice for, what you had to do. You know, that was part of the thing. Of course, there is a debate, just as a side note, there is a debate about whether women, when they, because women also came and offered sin offerings, you could offer any of those kind of offerings, but there's a debate about whether women had to lay their hands on the offering or not. But definitely for men, it definitely was a thing. I do think that a woman would have had to as well, that there is a rabbinical debate about whether they did or not. But the point was that you really had to lean your weight in and you had to be repentant. And imagine, you know what, it says it in James, we must confess our sins one to another out loud. How difficult is that to do? It's very difficult to go to someone and say, you know, I've done this, or I've had these thoughts, or I did this today. Or it is quite difficult. That's why a lot of people just confess to Yeshua and say, like, Yeshua, I did this, you know, I did this, I'm really sorry, please forgive me. But that was actually the process that was followed in the tabernacle. Mm-hmm. And then again, in the temple, you had to confess to the priest that was officiating. Can you imagine the kind of things that priest would hear? You know, it was quite a deep thing that was actually happening. And so there were these offerings, and they were about what was going on in your heart. It was about what was going on in your heart. And so you had, firstly, I'm going to take you through the four offerings and how they connect to Yeshua and how they connect to you. And we're going to do that really quickly. But you had, firstly, the sin offering. And the sin offering was exactly what we heard Yeshua accomplish. It was about general redemption. And you know, Yosef, what's interesting about the sin offering that we don't often think about, again, that we're not really always exposed to, is that a sin offering was offered for an individual. So if you committed a sin, and the communion, the whole point of that offering was that the communion between you and Yahweh has been severed through your sin. And so you want to restore that communion with God, and you would offer that sin sacrifice, and you would bring it, and it would just be general redemption. But it was also offered for congregations and communities. It wasn't just, the sin offering was not just for individuals. It was not just for you or just for me. Oftentimes we read in the Old Testament that the sin offering was offered for the whole congregation, when the whole congregation had sinned. And I was really, really thinking about how this connects with us. You know, do we as the collective body of Messiah ever repent collectively together over what we've done? Think about it. You know, it's one thing for me to ask forgiveness, for you to ask forgiveness, but do we as a collective people who love Yeshua, do we ever sit together and say, actually, we got stuff in all of us that we've done as a community, as a congregation, as just people who love Yeshua, and that we need to repent of these things. We need to do that. And that was the purpose of the sin offering. It was redemption. Communion with Yahweh was broken, and communion had to be restored. And that was what Yeshua became. He really became that sin offering. And it was very, very important for him to take that sin upon himself and become that offering. And then we had the burnt offering. And I find the burnt offering very, very interesting. Some people get it very confused with the sin offering. It's actually called an ascending offering. And in Hebrew, it's the olah. And it means to ascend. My name, Aliyah, actually comes from this offering. It means to ascend or to be fully surrendered to God. You would bring a burnt offering, you know, if you wanted to really, really dig deeper in an intimate space with Yahweh, because you offered the sin offering first. You could not just bring a burnt offering on its own, actually. You offered the sin offering first, and that was to take care of your sin. Then you offered a burnt offering. It was also to restore communion between you and Yahweh, but it was an offering that was actually offered, Yosef, every single day. And it was burnt in the morning and in the evening. The priests consistently were offering burnt offerings. Extra ones were done on new moons, extra ones were done on Passover, extra ones were done on feast days, extra ones were done at certain times of the year. It was an offering that was about intimacy and love and surrender. And it was really, really just a heartfelt offering. And that's really what Yahweh wants us to do every day, isn't it? Love him, be with him, surrender to him, walk like this night and day, which is what that offering was symbolizing. This commitment, this surrender, this intimacy, this, you know, communion with him. Yeshua also became that offering for us. But he also became a big, big offering, which is very, very important, the trespass offering. The trespass offering was for specific sins, and particularly for sins that involve where you sinned against other people. So if you sinned against me, and then you come, you ask me for forgiveness. We would have to go to the temple together, and you would have to sacrifice an animal right then and there. And you would have to, you know, not only ask my forgiveness, but offer an offering to God. By the way, Yeshua didn't become the trespass offering. Yes, he has taken that. He has become that in part. But there still is, and he speaks to us and teaches us about the fact that that's why you have to go to people and ask their forgiveness when you've been harmful to them, when you trespassed against them. And it's very important that, Joseph.
I think, Eliyah, what you're saying is vitally important, because I think what many people don't understand often is that, yes, Yeshua fulfilled many of these, you know, these festivals, and not only the festivals, but these sacrifices. And just in the same way that he fulfills Passover, that doesn't mean now that Passover is complete and there's nothing that we need to do. So what it means is that he has fulfilled it, so therefore we should appropriate what he has done to our lives. The same applies with the trespass offering. Yes, the trespass offering has been fulfilled, but that doesn't mean that the principles of the trespass offering fall away. We still need to understand that when we do wrong, or when somebody wrongs us, or we are wronged by someone else, there is an offering, or there is a way to be reconciled, and it's found within that trespass offering. So it's important that these offerings, I think so often we look at them and we're like, okay, well, you know, it doesn't really apply to me, but actually they really do. So like the ascension offering, it's always continually being burned, and Paul talks about us being a living sacrifice. And our worship and the way that we worship the Father is, yes, we are living sacrifice, but we are continually worshiping him in spirit and in truth. So it's continually a commitment and an ascension between us and the Father and us and Yeshua. So it's important that we understand that, and that we take those principles that we find. And it doesn't now mean go and spiritualize everything. No, we have to understand the principles found within the Word and apply those things, like we're going to see as we go on. But every one of these things, like you said, like, for example, Passover with the lamb, and not only with the lamb, but also with the priest. You know, there's two things going on Passover, and we can't just say, okay, so Yeshua did this, and it's okay, now I have the blood of Messiah Yeshua, and I can carry on. We have to understand the work of Yeshua, and therefore take what he's done, and then apply it to our lives, so that we can become the people that he wants us to be.
And I think that it's so, that's so important what you're saying, because when we get to Passover, for me, I don't know how other people approach it, but I'm the kind of person that I'm not just wanting to spiritualize everything. I believe that things are practical. So if I want to celebrate Passover, I want to understand how Yeshua became my sin offering, you know, not because of any other reason, but because I want that visual in my mind. I'm a visual person. Probably some of you listening are also visual. So you want to know, you know, what was he accomplishing when he was on that stake? Because we can know the depth. And if we know the depth, we can take the depth and apply it to our hearts and lives, so that when I'm thanking him for becoming my sacrifice, I can understand that he wasn't just taking my sin, but he was taking my trespasses, me trespassing against his Father, you know, me trespassing against others, me now needing to appropriate that trespass offering in my life and go to someone else that I've harmed. If I know that, because sometimes we don't know when we've harmed others, but when we do know that we have, then to go to that person and say, I really am sorry, you know, let's pray together about what's happened. We don't necessarily have to continue to be friends, or, you know, we don't have to reconcile and walk together, but we can be living in a forgiveness state towards one another. I want to know, you know, I feel like we've been robbed. It's been taken from us to just say, oh, Yeshua just took away our sins. What else did he accomplish there? There was so much that he accomplished there. And the final offering I just want to mention is one that I find quite incredible. It's the peace offering, Yosef, the fourth one that was offered. And it's actually a joyous offering of completion. And it's actually that particular offering is spoken of again and again and again somewhere else in the Bible, in the book of Psalms. David consistently speaks about this peace offering. He speaks about it all the time, because he says about this offering that in it he finds mercy and the expression of love. And we need to remember that this is actually one of the only offerings that were offered at the tabernacle and temple that was eaten both by the priests and the person that would offer it. So, you know, with a sin offering that was not eaten by the person, it was eaten by the priest, the Levites. But the joyous offering of peace, you know, this love and this mercy, it's a kind of an expression of saying, I have obtained mercy from you, Yahweh. I have obtained love for you. Now I want to offer something to you. It's about, you know, coming and giving this peace offering and experiencing that joy and that mercy and that peace and that love. And just having that fellowship with Yahweh around an offering. And that is what Yeshua accomplished for us through his death and his resurrection. He said, what? I come to what? Reconcile you to the Father. We were severed from Yahweh at the Garden of Eden, knowing him as that intimate Father, being able to sit on his lap and hear his heart and to know him as Abba was taken from us through sin. And when we were still sinners and not saved, we never knew that we had a Father who really loved us. Now that we believe in Messiah Yeshua, part of what he has accomplished is, think about it, that time when we've entered into the covenant with him through his blood is that time where we get saved and our sins are forgiven. And yes, we are forgiven of sin on a daily basis, but we should be going deeper, when deeper and deeper. And we should be going to the depth of this peace offering, where it is about us just wanting to be with him and experiencing that fellowship with Yahweh through what Yeshua has done. And part of what Yeshua accomplished on the cross, on the stake, was that he reconciled us with our Father, so that we suddenly now realize that we are not orphans anymore. That, you know, regardless of what our earthly fathers did, how they abandoned us, you know, whether they were there or not, whether whatever, we now have a heavenly Father who is greater than all those things, that can love us and that we can be reconciled to. And I think that that's really important. And the one that we're going to touch on the rest of this restoration hour is the red heifer sacrifice. The red heifer sacrifice has also remained a mystery, Yosef. And I believe it's remained a mystery because it's a revelation to those who are fully in covenant with Yahweh. You don't hear about the red heifer sacrifice in Christianity. You definitely don't hear it preached from the pulpits. You hear that Yeshua came and, you know, he forgave you. But this red heifer sacrifice is super important to our walk now as covenant-keeping believers who believe in Messiah Yeshua and keep his truth and walk in his ways. We need to know how this red heifer sacrifice applies to us and what Yeshua did through it for you and for me. And we're only going to tell you about that and get into it after our first song of the evening. So we want you to enjoy the song. It's called This Is a Move. We're going to get into it when we get back.
Mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe. Yes, we can see that wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do.
Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming.
Welcome back to the Restoration Hour, and this evening we're talking about the sacrifices of Yeshua. And now I really believe, you know, Aaliyah, this red heifer sacrifice for me is one of the most important sacrifices, I think, within the scriptures, when we really take and place it into the right position and understand it. You know, I've always sat and wondered, you know, people talk, like you say, about Passover, and you know, when you're in the church, you hear about Easter and all this crazy stuff that goes with it. And then you come out and you realize that, you know, these things are not really biblical. And then you start to, you know, look at Passover and understand what Passover is about. But, you know, Passover holds truth in the sense of it tells us both who Yeshua is, that he is now the Lamb, you know, that takes away the sins of the world, and also that he fulfills the role of the high priest. On that same day, he fulfills exactly what the high priest does, but he also becomes the Lamb that was slain. But there's something that's even more important that takes place and is a foreshadow that we see within these sacrifices and within the red heifer sacrifice in particular, that pertains to Yeshua's death. So he's giving us this picture of him becoming the Lamb. He's also giving us this picture of him becoming the high priest, which is extremely important for us to understand how we are renewed, how we are changed, how we must live. But at the same time, we have to look at it this evening and say, you know, when we get saved, we still have a lot of baggage and we still have a lot of problems and issues with our lives. And one of those issues that comes in is with our flesh, in the sense of how we live, how we change, you know, how we allow the Spirit and the Ruach of Yahweh to actually come and allow us to change. So we have this problem, and it's found within our flesh. Our flesh is always striving, like Paul says, against the Spirit of Yahweh, and we're always in conflict to each other. So we know that, you know, the sacrifice that Yeshua made on the stake is all about us entering into the family and becoming part of the family. And when we were in church, you know, we were told this is, you know, part of the family. You come in, you got salvation, and we're not taught anything else. But as we matured, we came to understand that, hey, look, I'm part of the family of Israel. And because I'm part of the family, I have to keep the commandments, because the commandments is what keeps me righteous and holy and keeps me walking on the right path. But at the same time, we have to come to a point, and I'm trying to summarize this for us so that we understand. We have this problem continually in our minds, and it's our consciousness. And the writer in Hebrews talks to us about the fact that, you know, before the sacrifices were only able to take away, you know, the sins, but it never cleared the conscience of the person. In other words, it always left this lingering part on us. And the truth is today that when we don't walk by the Spirit of Yahweh, but we walk by our flesh, we still have this problem that our conscience is always at us, because our flesh is always trying to rise up against the Spirit of Yahweh. But Yeshua, he came and he fulfilled the red heifer sacrifice, thereby allowing us to partake of the sacrifice and then allow the Spirit of Yahweh to change us from the inside out. This red heifer sacrifice is all about the fact that Yeshua has taken away our sins, but at the same time he's cleared our consciousness and he's allowed us to have the Spirit of Yahweh dwell within us. And this is what's very important. The red heifer sacrifice is not necessarily about our salvation as much as it is about holiness, about keeping us holy, and about taking the work of Yeshua in the sense of turning us from a person that was once defiled into somebody that can now have his flesh. And hear me out what I'm saying by this. Yeshua says, and we read about it in the book of Romans, that he was the firstborn brethren among many, so that we can become like him. And that's what the scriptures tell us, that we are supposed to be people of his image. So if we're walking around and we're still struggling with our flesh, then we have to ask ourselves, have we changed our bodies, or have we changed our ways, the way that we do things, and have we allowed death to die in us, and are we now living for the righteousness of Messiah Yeshua? And this is the problem, Aaliyah, why so many people that are just saved have a problem with maturing and never ever becoming those priests of righteousness that Messiah Yeshua wants. And the reason why people, like you said this evening, don't live in the presence of Yahweh continually is because they have a problem with their flesh. Because they get saved, but then they're walking and they're having this struggle continually with their flesh and with their spirit, because they haven't actually appropriated that red heifer sacrifice into their lives and what it means for them, and come to realize that, hey, you know what, Yeshua was the lamb that was slain, but he was also this red heifer sacrifice that takes away all my sins, but also allows me to partake of his flesh. And thereby, I don't have to walk around anymore as a person condemned, a person that is ashamed, a person that lives in the shadows, but I can actually live in the fullness of the presence of Yahweh, because my sins have been forgiven and I'm no longer living by my flesh, but I want to partake of the flesh and the body and the power and the resurrection life that Messiah Yeshua has given to me, because he has fulfilled these things. So I want to read to you just a few things quickly about this sacrifice that is very, very important. One of the things I want to tell you is this. You know, Jewish law, which is, you know, the Talmud, and I don't read the Talmud, but it's important for us to understand something. You know, they have all their books and their halakha, and they maintain that all the Jews today are impure because of the following fact. They say that either by direct or indirect contact with the dead, all Jewish people then become contaminated. And for that reason, observant Jews may not go to parts of the Temple Mount, lest they step onto the Holy of Holies, or the spot where they believe the Ark of the Testament used to be, and then by going there, they make that place defiled. Or fragments of the stone tablets containing those Ten Commandments, which was residing until it was supposedly lost during the Babylonian exile. But anyway, so they believe that if they touch this thing, then it becomes defiled. But the Mishnah also tells us that the ceremony of the red heifer sacrifice has only been performed 9 times in the history of the Jewish people. That's what they believe. And they believe that when the 10th heifer appears, the Messiah will finally come. But we know that when Yeshua came, he was that 10th heifer. He was the one that came to fulfill what the heifer sacrifice has done. So they don't believe that Messiah Yeshua is the Messiah, because they're still waiting for this, right? So I want to read to you something.
I think that's so important to realize, is that, you know, Jewish tradition does teach that. And sometimes it's very important for us to realize that, again, like you said, we don't take Jewish tradition and their interpretation of things like too hard. You know, we can't rely upon them for faith. But we need to also sometimes look at it and say they have many different things that they've kept historically. And there was the Rambam who actually said that, yes, 9 red heifer sacrifices have been offered. The first by Moses, the second by Ezra, and then 7 after that, you know, the different ones throughout history. And then we know the second temple was eventually destroyed. And so they're still waiting, like you said, for that 10th red heifer sacrifice to be offered. And exactly that is so true. Yeshua became that 10th red heifer. It was so specific. And the Jewish people believed, and always did believe, that the 10th red heifer sacrifice would only be offered by the Messiah, when the Messiah comes. And that's what their tradition says. It wasn't just like, oh, we haven't offered 10 and someone's going to come along and is just going to offer 10. They were so specific in all of their writings, saying the Messiah will be, you know, when he comes, he will offer the 10th red heifer sacrifice. Yeshua became this, you know, and he became that offering. He didn't just take a 2-year-old cow and put it there and kill it and, you know, take the ashes. He became it with his very own flesh. And it was so, so important to realize that they kept that tradition without even actually seeing with spiritual eyes that Yeshua was the one who arrived and became the sacrifice. And it's so important. I know that you're probably going to go on and explain it more, why it's important and how we see that Yeshua became that sacrifice.
You know, I think before I even mention these things, I want to make it this evening as simple as possible, because the truth of the matter is this sacrifice is very deep and it's very complex. But I think to simplify it in a way that really makes sense is, I want to ask you that's listening maybe this evening, you know, I know in my life when I got saved, you know, I got saved and I began to pray and the truth of the matter is that I still struggled with my flesh. I still struggled with things as I walked with the Father. And as I prayed about things, there were still things that I would struggle with. And nobody really explained to me, you know, that there is freedom. People spoke about freedom and they spoke about, you know, this liberty and freedom that you have in Messiah Yeshua. But I never really continually felt free. I still struggled with my flesh. And as I grew and as I matured and as I prayed and asked the Father to show me, the more that he would show me, the more it would return back to this work that Yeshua has done. And people would say to me, you know, these words, Yosef, it's a finished work. It's a work that is completed. But I never felt like I was changing until the day came when Yeshua actually told me that I've given you everything that you need for life and godliness. And I sat and I thought about, what does that mean? And the truth of the matter is that Yeshua's life, his death and resurrection, and how he fulfilled these sacrifices, particularly this sacrifice, gives us the power to take what he has done and appropriate it in our lives so that we don't have to be bound anymore by our flesh. Even though it is sometimes mind over matter, we still have to get to a point where we realize that he has defeated that how do I say, that unclean or uncleanliness that has always been found in our flesh. He's defeated it, and we can overcome when we live a life in Yeshua. It's all about putting off the body of death and then putting on Messiah Yeshua. And I know it sounds crazy because our minds are like, how do I put, you know, Yeshua on? But the truth of the matter is that when we are mikvahed and when we come up and out, we're always talking about, you know, death to the one self and arising to a new man. But what people don't understand is that new person is Yeshua. We have to reflect Yeshua in everything that we do. And the only way that we can do that is when we take this sacrifice and everything that it symbolizes and actually apply it to our lives and realize that Yeshua is helping us to overcome our flesh. And it's our flesh that separates us from a holy Elohim, because our flesh is under the curse of sin and death. Mm-hmm. So that's why Yeshua says, one day you will receive a glorified body. Why? Because his flesh is righteous. His flesh is pure. If Yeshua didn't rise again and receive a glorified body, he wouldn't be able to stand in front of his own Father. And that's the reason why, because our flesh is contaminated. It has the marks of sin within it. So we have to have a glorified body. So what Yeshua is doing here is he's making a way through the lamb sacrifice, through the Passover, for us to be part of the family. But now as members of the family, he's doing something more, and he's giving us the ability to have a changed life, to be able to go from just a believer into becoming a priest. You know, the reason why Nadav and Avinu couldn't stand in that place was because they offered strange fire, but also because they were defiled. They were defiling Yahweh's holy temple. So Yeshua's red heifer sacrifice enables us to no longer be people that are dirty, people that are unclean, people that are of the world, or people that are living by our flesh. It enables us to live by the power of the Ruach in our lives. So let me read to you what this says, and I want you to think a little bit about this. So firstly, it required a completely red cow, and this is quite remarkable because no other of the sacrifices required this kind of animal, and it was specifically to be this red cow that had no defect. And it's also symbolic, this red cow, of sin. It talks about our sins. And it was the most unique sacrifice in the Torah, and like all other animals that could be offered to Yahweh, a completely red cow was extremely rare to find, and it was one of a kind. It was the only sacrifice where all the rituals were carried outside the camp and later outside the temple precincts. This is basically the blood applications of the sacrifice occurred in a location apart from the Levitical altar, so it was outside or away from the altar. It is also the only sacrifice of blood in the Torah of Moses. In other words, the blood of the red cow was not drained out, but was rather burned in the fire. And that's important. All right. It was the only sacrifice that was also ritually contaminated the priest who offered it. So we know that when Yeshua hung on the stake and he took the sins of the world upon him, he became unclean. But we became clean. We became clean because of his sacrifice. So yeah, it tells us that when the priest offered it, the priest became contaminated, but the one who was receiving it or was sprinkled by the blood, they became clean. So this is important. And it's items used to cleanse, basically the items of the red heifer were used, and this is very important. It was used to cleanse a person that had tzarat, in other words, leprosy. They had leprosy. And I want you to think about that, because leprosy is a disease of your flesh. Hmm. It's a disease that contaminates the person. It causes the flesh of a person to become corrupt and rotten. So it was important. So this is why our flesh, if we become contaminated, it's like leprosy. And the Bible tells us that if there is leprosy in the camp and it's on the house or it's on a person, then that entire house and everything that's there gets contaminated.
Hmm. This week in the Torah reading was all about Metzora and this Tzarat. And it was so important to realize that, you know, this Metzora and Tzarat is actually, we call it leprosy, but it was a very mysterious thing that no one actually really knows. It was kind of a disease that, again, the rabbis believe came upon people because of unholiness in people's lives, gossip and, you know, bad speaking and bad thinking and bad ways of life. And then they would get this kind of infection on their flesh, or, you know, if things happened in a house, the infection would be in the house, and was very, very deep. And actually, if you think about this Metzora and this Tzarat, you know, it's actually that a person that had this skin disorder, this kind of leprosy or this very mysterious disease, would actually become isolated. They had to go to a place and be isolated. You know, today we have like the COVID isolation, which probably most of us have been through at some stage when we had COVID or thought we had COVID. And isolation is quite intense. And this is what a person who had this skin disorder would have to experience. They would be completely isolated. But what was so important about this was it was only a priest that would come to that person and see how they were doing and would minister to them the way of recovery, the pathway to take to recover from not only what was happening physically to them, but what was happening inwardly. And it was then, you know, only after they were recovered after a certain amount of time that they would be permitted to go before Yahweh and to offer a sacrifice before him, and a sacrifice that again really spoke of that restored communion with him. And I think, Yosef, that's exactly what this is all about as well. It's really, really about this fact of what we keep on saying. It's about a restoration of holiness. You know, what does that really mean? Restored to holiness, of course. You know, Adam and Eve were in that perfect state, that holy state, living with Yahweh, and because of sin and defilement and uncleanness and unholiness, it all came in at that moment where sin entered. And so it is with us as well. And I think that this red heifer sacrifice, although, you know, we've got such a short space of time to talk about it, and it is quite complex. And for some people, they might be like, well, it was just a sacrifice, it was just a red cow. Well, actually, this 2-year-old female red cow completely burnt, completely consumed, you know, like you said, with the blood in it, the only offering that the blood is not drained out of, the only offering that is actually a female cow that's red, that has to be 2 years old. It was so, so specific, down to the actual T of what this sacrifice had to be. It had to be complete, and that was how it was burnt. And again, like you're saying to us, the ashes were actually gathered up and they were put into a jar, and they were mixed, you know, with water. Sometimes when it would be used, they would be used, it was this sacrifice that was used to cleanse people who had this weird infectious leprosy and this weird disease. Why? Because the uncleanness and the unholiness in people who, you know, are gossipers or bad thinkers or bad choice makers or bad, you know, characters, needs a cleanliness, and that cleanliness needs to be a spiritual clean out. That is why people always say, you can't believe everything that you think. You know, not everything that you think is true. And how true is that? You know, sometimes you will think something, and it actually, just because you think it, doesn't make it true, doesn't make it right, doesn't make it what you should do or what you should follow, what you should listen to. You have to have the Spirit of Yahweh dwelling inside of you. And the Spirit of Yahweh enters into us, but will stay and abide within a house that is clean. It has to be clean. We have to consistently be actually, like you said, appropriating this sacrifice, because we all have a sin problem. But we also, you know, once we can be taking care of the sin, we deal with that. But we also can be entertaining thoughts that are not okay, or dealing with guilt, or making wrong decisions that lead us to wrong places. And we need to be cleansed and cleansed so that we can more hear the voice of Yahweh speaking inside of us. And just like it says in Revelations, where it says, Revelation, where Yeshua says, you know, I stand at the door and knock. I want, you know, anyone who opens the door to me, I will come in and I will eat with him or her. I'll come and eat with you, you know, coming in and living and abiding within us. We just hear often, oh no, Yeshua's standing at the door open. He's just coming in. He's always living inside of us. Well, the truth is we can kick him out and push him out by living in a certain way that we shouldn't be living, by doing things that we shouldn't be doing, by bearing unrighteous fruit, you know, by living in an unholy place, by watching bad things or entertaining bad thoughts or doing secret things that we shouldn't be doing. But again, the sacrifice is also about mercy, and it's also about goodness, because it's this reality of Yeshua became this for us so that he could take upon himself, and he did as well on that stake, the uncleanness that we carry, you know, the burden of guilt, the burden of shame, the burden of, you know, a conscience that is maybe feeling bad because you have thoughts that are not good, or there's things happening that's not okay within you. Yeshua came and mercifully bent down to us and said, I'm going to help you with this. I've taken this upon myself, but you need to live a surrendered life to me. You need to let me in. You need to open your heart. You need to open your mind. You need to let me lead. You can't trust always what you think or what you believe. You have to know who I am and what I'm leading you to do and how to live surrendered to me. And you know, that is part of what it means to make this sacrifice appropriate for our lives and to really apply it to who we are.
Amen. You know, I want to read what it says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 20. It says, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. You know, Yeshua, he dies and he rises from the grave, and all these things are fulfilled in him. But I think what we lack sometimes, or what we don't always fully understand, is that it's only Yeshua's flesh, his body and his blood, that makes a way for us. That's why the writer of Hebrews says that now through a new way, through his body, no longer through the animals or through the sacrifices that he has made, but through Yeshua's blood and through his body, we are able to be cleansed by all things, all the conscience and the bad things that we struggle with, and all the things that goes through our minds, can be taken away from us. But we are now able to also stand with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And there it's talking about everything that happens in the red heifer sacrifice, the water and the sprinkling. So this Passover, when we enter into this Passover, we need to understand that Passover is the entry, it's coming into the family of Messiah Yeshua, that he has died so that we can be partakers of those promises and come into the family. But more importantly, he's also become the red heifer sacrifice, so that we don't have to be people or children tossed around by every wind of doctrine, going from Passover to Passover and never ever maturing because we're living by our flesh. That's not what he wants. He wants us to take the work that he has done, appropriate it to our lives, and say, hey, you know what? Messiah Yeshua has paid the ultimate price once and for all, so that we can be part of the family, but that we can mature and become the priests of righteousness that he wants us to be. Because the truth of the matter is, Elia, there is no glory in corrupted flesh. There is no glory in corrupted flesh. We have to understand that our bodies are fading away. That's why we need to be partakers of Messiah Yeshua, and thereby his express image, and live the life that he wants us to live in a dying world. And we can only do that when we actually take this promises and the work that he's done and really apply it to our lives. I think for so many of us, we walk around and we live a defeated life because we don't actually fully understand the work the Messiah Yeshua has done. You know, the church always talks about the blood, the power of the blood. But the truth of the matter is, it's not only the power of the blood, but it's the power of the sacrifices that were made that Yeshua fulfilled right down to the minuscule detail. You know, he fulfilled right up into the time and the hour that the priest was standing and sacrificing the Passover lamb. He was right there doing exactly the same on the stake. He fulfilled everything. Mm-hmm. So just as he fulfills, you know, this red heifer sacrifice, he also fulfills it right down to the last detail of it, so that you can be free, so that we can actually live a free life, and that we can go from Passover to Passover, maturing, growing, and becoming the people that he wants us to be.
You know, this is all found in Numbers 19. You can read about the red heifer sacrifice. Yosef, I realize that we did not read Numbers 19 out, but don't worry, because you can go and read it for yourself. And you know, you were saying right down to the very minuscule detail. And I want to say absolutely amen. The red heifer sacrifice, this two-year-old red cow, was offered with three things as well: with cedar wood, with hyssop, and with a dyed red piece of yarn. And you know, when you think about cedar, there's so many scriptures in the you know, throughout the Old Testament that speaks of cedar wood. And cedar wood was actually incredibly strong. It was actually a symbol of strength and beauty and durability. And you know, that speaks as well of the character of Messiah Yeshua. He became this, you know, strength for us, the strength of sacrifice that he gave. The hyssop, so important. It was a herb, part of the mint family, you know, in the ancient world. And hyssop actually was this incredible thing that was actually spoken about in Exodus 12. When Yahweh commanded the first Passover to be done, he said that they had to take the blood of the lamb and do what with it? Put it on the doorpost, right? But what actually was that sort of paintbrush that they had to use to put it on the door? It was hyssop. When Yeshua in John chapter 19 is hanging on the stake, Yosef, and he says that he is thirsty, and he gets that mixture of vinegar and wine, you know, soaked on a sponge, reaching up to him, and he takes some of it. What is that sponge actually sitting on top of? A piece of hyssop tree. It actually says it in John chapter 19. Sorry. So this hyssop was all about cleansing. Who else speaks about hyssop consistently in the Bible? David. David speaks consistently, and particularly after he, you know, was with Bathsheba, and he writes Psalm 51 as a psalm of forgiveness and transgression, you know, all about his sin. He actually says there, Yahweh cleansed me with hyssop. Hyssop was a cleansing tool. And David spoke about not just being cleansed from his sin. He said, cleanse me with hyssop so that he could be righteous within again. Hyssop was that cleansing tool that was used to consistently speak of cleansing and cleansing, renewal, revival. And this was what was offered with the red heifer sacrifice. See, cedar wood, speaking of that strength, durability of Yeshua, his character, the strength that he needed to become that sacrifice for us. Then what his sacrifice as the red heifer was accomplishing, that cleansing power in us, that spiritual renewal. And then the wool dyed red. I mean, that's all over the Bible, where he even says in Isaiah that though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them white as wool. And that red thread that was used when Rahab tied it in the window, and the rabbinic, you know, traditions of when the thread that was tied, you know, in the temple, that never again turned white after Yeshua's death, because never again was the sacrifice accepted by Yahweh. And you know what? It's just these elements that Yeshua came and fulfilled completely. You know, I want to end off, you know, with saying that these are deep things, and I know that we are deep people, so we can receive them. What our spirit takes in will make real to us. And you know, I just really praise Yeshua for his incredible sacrifices. He has accomplished so much more than what we've ever been taught and what we've ever dreamed or imagined that he could fulfill. So that is why we have fullness in him. We have a fullness to be who he created us to be. And we have a fullness that we can hope for our future, that we can hope for our present, and that we can really go to him and ask him, what is it you would have me do? What is it that you want for my life today and for the future? What is it that you want for me? Help me be cleansed. Help me hear your voice. He accomplished all those things and so much more than what we would ever imagine for us. And I want to finally end off with saying the following. You know, recently I've become aware that there's people who, you know, are in Torah and, you know, following Yeshua, but that are suddenly making a lot of excuses not to keep the feasts. I don't have the time, or I'm not in a fellowship. I am alone this year, so I can't, you know, or, you know, there's a Passover happening, but it's too far for me to travel, or, you know, there's suddenly a lot of excuses. And I really want to urge you today. I know that life gets tough. I know that life gets hectic. I know that, you know, time is, you know, is hard, and finances are tough. But I really want to say to everybody that's listening, and this is really, I'm urging you from my heart, do not let the enemy lie to you, because Yahweh has ordained these feasts. These are the elementary things. We shouldn't be having to take care of them. We should just be doing them every single year. The feasts are appointed holy, sacred times. You know, someone this week that I interviewed on my radio show wasn't even about the feasts. It was about feeding people, feeding homeless people. This person began just preaching these ancient ways to the people on the radio show that wasn't even about that, because he's just coming to it just this year. His fire that he is carrying, Yosef, is so real that I'm speaking about a soup kitchen for the homeless, and he's preaching, get to the ancient past, celebrate Passover. And I'm just like, you know what? You just do this thing, brother. Because the fire that he is carrying for these things, because they were kept from him for over 40 years, and now coming into them, he sees them as special. It's like when we get married, you know, we see our partner as special, and through the years, sometimes some people begin, you know, to let that light dim, and then they don't see the beauty that they have in front of them. And the truth of the matter is that I really want to urge you to do not let the enemy steal these sacred times from you. Make a plan to get to that fellowship. Make a plan to celebrate Pesach on your own. Remember, I've done a teaching on our YouTube channel on how to celebrate Passover. All that's mandated of you is to do what? Eat the lamb, eat the matzah and the bitter herbs, and have a bit of a celebration. If you have to do it on your own, do it on your own. Do not let the enemy steal these special feasts from you. People I'm hearing that have been in Torah for many years are suddenly making excuses not to keep the feast. It's unacceptable. These are Yahweh's holy times. And I really, really want to urge you to really, really please celebrate these feasts. And we're going to go to our final song with that. I'm finished my preaching for the evening. Let us go to our final song called Your Will, Your Way. If you have a prayer request, please put it down. We want to pray for you when we get back and see you after this.
Come alive, river flow through me, river flow through me.
try and stop it. We won't try and stop it. What could contain you, Lord? We have learned to trust you. We have learned to trust you. Spirit, reign in us. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Your will, your way. Do whatever you want to. Come move, come reign. Let your kingdom be.
Father, we just want to thank you this evening for everything that you have done for us. Father, for your Son Yeshua and his sacrifice. Father, thank you that we can be partakers of a new life. Father, that we don't have to be people, Father, tossed around by every wind of doctrine, moving from place to place and living by our flesh, Father. But instead, we can be overcomers, Father, because Yeshua has paid the ultimate price for us by his blood, Father. And we pray this evening, Father, that you will bless and keep each and every person that has joined us, those that will join later. We also pray, Father, that you will be with them. Father, may this week be a week of preparing our hearts and our lives, Father, for your truth and your word, to allow, Father, this time of Passover that is coming, and unleavened bread, and then ultimately, Father, when we get into these festivals, I pray, Father, that they will change us from the inside out. Father, that it will not just be a time where we go to receive, but Father, where it will be a time where we go to give. Give of our lives, give of our hearts, give of who we are to you, so that we can be a living sacrifice. Father, we thank you for each and every person that has joined us, and we ask, Father, in the name of Yeshua, that you will bless them, keep them, make your face to shine upon them, and give them true shalom this week and the weeks to come. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. It's been so good to be with you all. Next week we will be here on the Restoration Hour to celebrate together the first day of unleavened bread. And that's right, it is commanded to have a holy convocation or holy gathering. So we'll be doing that right here on the Restoration at the same time, same place. It's been good to be with you all. Have a blessed, blessed Pesach. Have a blessed Pesach Seder. Your meal, your fellowship, may it just be wrapped in Yeshua's love. May you experience his love, his joy, his mercy, and his greatness. May it be a time of renewal and blessing to you and your family and all those you will be celebrating it with. So shalom, shalom from us, Shavua Tov, and see you next week.
Shalom.
I searched the earth for something that could satisfy. Peace for the hurt I had buried deep inside. Knees on the floor, I finally found everything I needed. You lifted my soul and opened up my eyes.
chasing after what won't last. I'm done with building these castles that crumble like sand. Oh no.